B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon. Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati on a Wednesday, fully loaded program. We got Maz, Big Jim Murray alongside from our Town Fair Tire Studios here in Dorchester.
Could you?
I'm Peachy. Thank you so much. I want to start off talking some football. How about, are you okay with that? A little football?
Yeah, fine. Of course, yeah.
Okay, a little football. I do want to get to this. I largely ignored the story because I thought it was unrealistic, not something I wanted the Patriots to do or that they would do, but people keep talking about it, most notably our buddy Christopher Gasper in the Globe. So what the hell? I got to talk about the Patriots and Odell Beckham because this thing won't go away, which I find absurd, but maybe I'm smoking something. I'm usually the problem.
Well, you do hate the diva wide receivers.
So. Oh, God, do I hate the diva wide receiver.
This is definitely going to draw your ire.
And this guy's right up there. He's, you know, textbook definition of the pain in the ass diva wide receiver who's not worth it. Just textbook.
He might be number one on the list.
Maybe in the modern NFL, he might be number one on the list.
Really? I'm not kidding.
You've had a problem with this guy for a long time.
I think he's a tool bag.
I was going to say, when we do the 10 questions with Bedard and do the tool bag question, Odell Beckham's come up with you more than once.
Big time.
So this tool bag, according to Chris Gasper, is more than just a fantasy for the Patriots. Like, there's a chance Gasper, who knows things and talks to people.
Like Brady.
Yeah, not like us just throwing crap against the wall. He actually talks to people, informed opinion making.
He hates when you say that, so keep doing it.
He hates when we say it's more... He always...
You know how he is. I don't talk to as many people as you think.
Oh, stop it. So he says OBJ is more than a fantasy for the Patriots.
If Gasper's talking to one person, he's talking to more people than we do.
He says, even if he pretends to talk to someone, he's talking to more people than we do. He says the Patriots have to revamp their wide receiving core, so why not aim for a Randy Moss redo?
Oh, God.
Beckham catching touchdown passes from Tom Brady feels like the stuff of fantasy football, but it's a drool-worthy possibility with some roots in reality. Like one of Beckham's signature catches, it appears unlikely, but it's not impossible. Because Pawpaw's reading it from the real newspaper. I'm now going to go inside.
News hit the internet yesterday, but me, I want it in my hands.
Correct.
Could actually turn the page.
I don't talk about it until it hits the paper. He says, Beckham added fuel to the fire when he commented, "Love you, brother," on a Brady family vacation Instagram post last Saturday. I missed this. Just last Saturday?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He was giving Brady the eggplant emoji or whatever on the Instagram?
Not exactly, but yeah.
Gasper writes, it sparked the type of intrigue and social media deciphering usually reserved for the NBA. Okay, so again, just as a backstory, Chris Sims and Jay Glazer both had said or speculated or reported or, you know, in some way, shape, or form, mentioned that the Patriots were after Beckham last year. But I guess apparently Beckham is still dropping the emojis to Tom Brady this year, which continues to fuel the speculation, says Gasper. Gasper writes, obviously, there are some obstacles to the Patriots acquiring Beckham. Asset cost, salary cap space, and Beckham's fit in somewhat fusty Fort Foxborough, given his temperamental nature and tendency to gravitate to the limelight. But the last of those three caveats should be the least of their concerns. So, the cost to get him, the cost you're going to have to pay him, and then, is he the right kind of guy for this environment? He says the third should be the least of your worries. By most accounts, Beckham is not a bad guy or a bad teammate. He displays the requisite passion for football that is essential to succeeding under Bill Belichick. Most of Beckham's transgressions seem to center around immaturity and losing. Foxborough would be the ideal place for him to work out both issues. Just want to stop there, Maz. Do you agree with that, that his issues seem to be about immaturity and losing?
No, not entirely. No, I don't agree with that completely.
I do. As far as diva behavior, what's the worst that Odell Beckham Jr. has done? He's gone nutty on the field and scrapped with Josh Norman. He did that nonsense bit with the stupid kicking net on the sideline. And he went on that boat trip a week before the playoff game where everyone lost their mind.
Okay, the third one's by far the worst.
I think so, too. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, no, just you don't think that's big of a deal, Murray?
No, I didn't. I really didn't. They weren't that good of a team. They got their ass kicked. I don't know how much that influenced it, the boat trip a week before the playoff.
I mean, I will say, though, that his personality is the least of the worries. They'll nail him down like nobody's business. And you know what I mean.
Well, see,
they button it down here is really what I mean to say, like nobody.
I think his attitude is tied to the money. And this is why I think this is pure nonsense. And I'm about to get to the money. But first, at the asset cost, the cost it would take to get him. The going rate for game-changing wide receivers is a first-round pick, says Gasper. Amari Cooper was dealt to the Dallas Cowboys last season for a first-rounder. When the Patriots traded for Brandon Cooks in 2018, they sent the final pick of the first round and a third-round pick to New Orleans while receiving Cooks in a fourth. When the Patriots then turned around and dealt Cooks to L.A., the return was a first-round pick and a sixth-round pick for Cooks in a fourth. So Gasper says the baseline for Odell Beckham is established as a first-round pick plus, and he would cost more than Cooper or Cooks because he's superior. Gasper speculates the Patriots possess a 32nd pick in the first round this year and are projected to have as many as 6 picks in the first 3 rounds, factoring in those compensatory picks. Giving the Giants a first and a third this year and a conditional pick next year is doable for the Patriots. First and a third and a conditional next year for Odell
Beckham. Way too much. Way too much, especially when you get to pay him. Like, I almost look at it as the opposite. You know, I just called up the contract as you were talking.
Well, can I get to that in a second?
Okay.
But just first, the asset cost.
Way too much. I'm not giving up a first for him.
If Cooper's a first, you don't think Beckham's a first and a third and then something else?
So Gasper might be right about that in terms of how you calibrate it. I even think it's still high. I'm just telling you, I wouldn't pay that. That's way too high.
Yeah, I'd do it.
No. For that kind of guy who isn't a great fit for their system, like you're telling me that, you know, you can restructure the contract and the cost is minimal, fine. But that? No way.
I'm going to get to the contract in a second. But if Cooper's a first, if Cooks is a first, then Beckham's a first and a third.
Yeah, the precedent's been set.
I don't think that that's an outrageous ask in terms of just the asset cost.
I mean, like I said, you know, in terms of how you calibrate it, fine, whatever. I'm not trying to give it up a first for either of those other two guys.
Here's the issue, okay? His attitude, I hate. I want nothing to do with him because I think guys like that are poison and they hurt your team. So I don't agree with that. The pain in the ass diva wide receiver who is more trouble than he's worth is it didn't work here. It did not work here. It did not. It Moss did not work long term. He did not. He gave you a year. And that's all he gave you. And then he helped drag this team to its lowest point under Bill Belichick. And he was a big part of it. It did not work. You got one season of fantasy football numbers, and that was it. That was it. It did not work here with Randy Moss. It does not work with. So I'm not buying that they can get the attitude right. I am buying a first and a third. I think that's a fair price. But the biggest issue is the money. And this is why I'm surprised Gasper still wrote this when you consider the money. And he says the biggest impediment to Beckham bringing the most exciting routes to Route 1 since Moss is the salary cap. And he's even wrong about that. It's about the real money, not the salary cap. But either way, the Giants and GM Dave Gettleman would have to be willing to eat $16 million in dead money on New York's books, which I don't care about, after they swallowed $15 million for letting Jason Pierre-Paul go last year. Either way, for the Patriots would have to clear cap space to accommodate Odell Beckham's large 2019 base salary of $16.75 million. Even that's not a problem. I'll find you $16.75. No problem. Give me a cocktail napkin. It'll take me 45 seconds. And I'll clear out $17 million for you. Easy. Easy. It's not the cap space, Gasper. They can find 17. They're already 20 under.
Okay, he's talking base salary, though, not cap space.
$16.75 million, which is fully guaranteed. Now we're getting to it. $16.75 fully. That's real money. That's not cap money. Real money. $17 million in real money. That's the non-starter. That's the issue.
Oh God, no way would I do it. No way, not a million years.
Gronkowski makes $9 million, and they're probably trying to give him a haircut. Julian Edelman is your next highest-paid pass catcher at $5.5 million a year. You're going to bring in this jack wagon for $17 million? You're going to do that to those two guys when you're trying to cut one, and they should be giving Edelman a raise. They probably won't be. You know how they treat that down there. And so they're going to pay this
tool bag. I don't know if you can say that, but tool bag.
I don't. Maybe I can't. That's close. $17 million? $17 million.
So this is where you
in
lose
real
me.
Money. The cap money, I'll find for you, no problem. Okay, I'm not taking the attitude, and they aren't paying him $17 million.
Yeah, to me, it's all part and parcel of the. You know, look, and the money's the biggest part of it. The whole package. If you tell me I'll compromise on some of the other things if he redoes the deal, then we can talk. But even if he redoes the deal, I'm not giving up a first and a third. No way.
The money's where you lose me, and because if the wide receiver core is going to look how it looks right now, you need to add something. So I'd be into him in terms of the talent. The money's ridiculous, and the insult to Julian Edelman. You said five, isn't it like 2.9
for this year? He had signed a 2-year, $11 million deal, so he makes $5.5 million a year for going by the AAV. This year, it's less. Right, it's less.
They got to restructure that so he's not making, you know, pennies on the dollar essentially.
So to me, the reason they bought in Moss is because they got him on the contract.
By the way, forget Gronk and Edelman. The base salary is more than Brady.
So they got to redo it. This is the thing. Even if Odell Beckham says, I'll restructure, the guarantee, he's not giving up that guaranteed. He's got $17 million guaranteed in his pocket this year. Any restructure, he's not going to say, yeah, just give me two guaranteed. He ain't doing that. That's $17 million real money, guaranteed, which means they have to, that affects Gronkowski, Edelman, Brady, the whole thing. He becomes the highest paid player. The whole reason they bought in Moss in the first place is because they got him on the contract in year one. They had leverage on him. And then they gave it away with the extension, which is why he went in the toilet. But when they had, same thing with Dylan, same thing with Moss. They got him on the contract. They had leverage on these guys on the contract. I do believe they were into Odell Beckham last year. Do you know why? He hadn't signed this deal. He was on that fifth-year rookie option thing.
I didn't even remember that.
He wasn't going. He signed 5 years, $90 million last August. Okay? The Patriots were interested in him last year. Why? Because he was between contracts and they had him on the contract. That's why they were into him. The Giants had picked up that fifth-year rookie option that I think was for $8 million.
So that makes sense now.
So, duh. Why do you think they were in? Why do you think they were in on him? Because it was a deal. Because they had some leverage on the contract. Yes, it only would have been for 1 year, but they only had Cooks for 1 year. Maybe they can, after 1 year, then assess whether to re-sign him on their terms. At the very worst, franchise him, which I know they don't like to do. But signing him before he signed 5 years, $90 million, now that makes sense for the Patriots, because then they get to do the next deal on their terms and bust his balls or ship him out. They're not going to bring him in on that Giants contract, 5 years, $90 million, even though the Giants have already paid the signing bonus. The 2019 salary of $17 million fully guaranteed. Next year, his base salary of $14 million, just under $3 million of that is guaranteed, and the rest becomes fully guaranteed. You got to make up your mind early on him. 2020 salary of $14.5 million, fully guaranteed the league year. He's got leverage on the contract. He makes it, the average annual value is $18 million per year. That's the highest average annual value at receiver in the league. It's the highest total money in the league. It's the highest guaranteed at signing in the league, $41 million. The highest practical guarantee, which they call those fully guarantees that are in the first week of the league year, is $65 million. All the most ever in the history of the league. Does that sound like a Patriot to you?
Nope.
No.
Let's trade for the guy who is the highest paid at his position in the entire league, and we didn't make him that. Please.
Oh, yeah, no, and give up a first and a third to do it.
So, look, I'm reticent to say there's no chance because the Patriots, that's a dangerous team to say that they'll never do this because then they end up doing it. Like, they're just that team to do something you never expect and to do something totally out of character. So I can't predict what the Patriots are going to do. But if they did, oh, my God, that would be such a departure. Any tool bag they brought in here, they did it on their terms where Randy Moss had to restructure. Corey Dillon had to restructure in year one. And then they made the mistake with both by extending them. But that's how they do it with these guys. They're not, once Odell signed that contract in New York, forget about it. They would have done it before when he was on that piddling, that little rookie option year. And then they could set the terms. But not now, I don't think, unless they totally blow me away and totally surprise me. But that's why. And there's a whole nother reason. Like that number one pain-in-the-ass outside receiver. What do those guys win? What do they win? We'll pick that up with your thoughts after that whole rant. Do you want Odell Beckham? 617-779-0985. Do you ready for this?
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5.
The Sports Hub. miss something?
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mass.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
I don't think everybody realizes, and I didn't realize this, how close Odell Beckham Jr. was to being traded last year, Mike. I mean, it was really close. Of course, we knew the conversations. You and I were at the owners' meetings together. But here's the big thing that I found out towards the end of the year, really, more than anything, with Odell Beckham Jr. The Giants were going to trade him, and I think they were really looking and listening to all offers. You know what really stopped it? And I think this is what's going to shock people. This is from everything I know of multiple sources. The thing that stopped the trade conversation with Odell Beckham Jr. is because the team that was most aggressive in pursuing him was the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots were trying to get Odell Beckham Jr. all last offseason. That didn't work out, and I think the Giants got cold feet and said, wait, New England wants him? Uh-oh, maybe he's better than we thought. Maybe we should just keep him on our own instead of it being thrown in our face and him going to win a Super Bowl with the Pats. So I still think there's a possibility there. They have all weapons on offense, and I think he's been a thorn in Eli's side, and he exposes Eli's lack of talent at this point of his career, and I'm kind of with Jay Glazer. I still think that's a very real possibility.
All right, let's talk about this with you, Jimmy. It's amazing. This happens from time to time. I can't log into my computer because I completely forgot what my username is. Like, I have no. I've tried four different things.
Wait, your username?
Yeah, Mike Felger. Felgerwood, lowercase, uppercase. I can't figure
M. Felger.
It out.
Yeah, M. Felger.
M. Felger.
All lowercase.
God, that's so annoying.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my God, M. Felger. There you go. Thank you. God, I feel so much better.
Thank God I'm here.
God, M. Felger. I don't. How do we do it here? I can't remember. While I'm booting up there, Jimmy, let's go John and Taunton. Let's lead off with John and Taunton on line three here on Felger Mass. John, go ahead. What do you think?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Myself, I like Odell Beckham as a player, but I don't want him on the Patriots because I think right now what the Patriots need is they need more youth across the board on their team. I mean, I know they won the Super Bowl, but I think they have the fourth or fifth oldest roster in the NFL. So, I mean, if you look across the board, how many good young front seven players do they have? I mean, Trey Flowers, who's a free agent, Dietrich Wise is okay, but they need a lot of youth across the board.
John, just let me stop you. I agree. They need youth. At receiver, though, they need good receivers. And Odell Beckham is...
He's not old.
He's 26.
He's 26 years old.
Yeah, he'll be 27 in November. Like, you know, to me, honestly, I don't even care about that part of it.
I'm not worried about his age. I'm not worried about his cap hit, least of all. They'll figure that out. Personally, I don't mind if they spent $17 million on a receiver. I personally would. You know, you'll never hear me complain about them spending money. I'm just telling you, I don't think they'd ever do it. I don't think they'd ever do it.
I just don't know how tough he is. Like, you know, and that's what worries me about some of those guys. You know, and you describe them as hood ornaments on the outside.
Yeah, just sort of fancy, flashy things that are great to look at, but they don't do anything for the car.
Now that whole, remember that whole thing with Josh Norman, when Josh Norman got in his face and Beckham was acting like a, you know, a child out there on top of it? I don't want anything to do with that guy. This is why I say
Norman,
like,
Norman was just as bad in that incident.
Okay, but you know what? When you talk about guys who you bring in that are pains in the asses, this is why I say I'd take Antonio Brown over this guy 7 days a week. At least Antonio Brown is tough and will fight for the ball and all that. This guy doesn't do any of that.
We've got Brandon in the car. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, all right. Thanks for taking the call. I just had two receivers I think would be a great fit for the Pats, especially, you know, if we're worried about getting them in, getting the most bang for your buck. I haven't heard anyone did a great job stepping in for Keenan Allen.
Yeah, I got it. Who's the second guy, Brandon?
And then Golden Tate.
Okay, so a lot of people mentioned Golden Tate. I'm sorry, just going to cut you off. I love the idea of Golden Tate. I love the idea of another one that's come up recently, and that's Emmanuel Sanders in Denver, about to be cut. Love both those guys. Love him. Love him. Love him. Love him.
Oh, Emmanuel Sanders, please. I heard that one last night that he wasn't going to restructure, that, you know, they wanted him to take a pay cut and he wouldn't do it. And there's a chance of him being released now. That one feels like righting a wrong from 5 years ago, whenever it was, when the Patriots signed him to that offer sheet and then it got matched and that was the end of that. That guy should have been here in the first place. And to me, that one's perfect. Like, absolutely perfect. And I'll take Golden Tate. I don't care about the age there either. Brady's 42, for crying out loud.
They need receivers. They just don't need Odell Beckham or Antonio Brown. They just need guys who can play the position, get open, catch the ball. Tough, competitive guys. Hard to find at that position.
Tyrell Williams.
Please.
Tyrell Williams sucks.
Thank you.
He blows 40 catches or whatever it is. 6 foot four. He's a third receiver.
I was going to say, is he a route runner or is he just a big guy they chuck it up to?
He's just a big guy. Like, if you want to talk Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, the other two guys on that receiving court. Now we're talking this guy, no shot.
Nick in the car. Hi, go ahead.
Hey, guys, two quick things. I don't think we can really compare Odell to Amari. First off, Amari was only on the hook for $411,000 last year. Two-year deal basically comes out to just over $14 million. Second, I think that a great fit for our organization would be Stephon Diggs. He's actually only due, I think, just over $18 million in the next 2 years.
Okay, why is Minnesota giving rid of that guy? He's nasty.
I have no idea.
They're not. You don't give up Stephon Diggs.
Oh, I would take him in a heartbeat.
That's their guy. That might be the best receiver in the league. I mean, like, again,
he's up there.
Brown and Beckham are brilliant, but Diggs is a poor man's. He's a poor man's one of those.
No, so this is what we're going to get now. People identifying great receivers on other rosters that'll never be traded.
I don't know. Why would they ever get rid of that guy?
Yeah, I want Jarvis Landry.
Seth and Taunton. Go ahead, Seth.
Hey, guys. Sorry. The free agent market for wide receivers this year is Bill Belichick's wet dream. It is just the biggest pile of crap out there. All these retreads and like bogus crap. This
I thought you were going to say it was his. Well, whatever you said, because there's some guys that sort of fit their profile, like this Adam Humphries, you know, who can be a slot guy, or the Beasley kid in Dallas who can be a slot guy. Or Jamison Crowder, someone that you've talked about with the Redskins, right, who can play in the slot.
He's another one, yeah. So, like, to me, those are the kinds of guys you're looking at. But there's no superstars on there.
Good.
Yeah, exactly. And Humphries, Murray brought him up a while ago, and I thought, ooh, that's a good one. Like, Humphries is, in a lot of ways, a perfect fit for them. To me, those are the kinds of guys that they should be targeting.
And absolutely.
And you know what they all have in common? They're tough, and they can catch the ball in traffic. Not like that ballerina on the outside there with the Giants who you just chuck it up to. And look, he's incredibly talented. I'm not trying to dump on the guy. I'm not disputing his talent. But late in the game, big catch, traffic. Is he the guy you're going to trust? Because I wouldn't trust him.
I don't trust him, period. I don't trust him, period. Showing up on Monday morning through Sunday night, I don't trust him. Clemens Chelmsford, just like I don't trust most of those guys.
Tool bag.
Clemens Chelmsford, go ahead on the Pats.
Tool bag.
How you doing, boys? So, listen, I had a thought about Gronkowski. So, we know that he's retiring. So, why don't we let him pull like a Clemens, Seau sort of thing, come back halfway through the year?
Okay, well, they kind of have already started to do that. I mean, they let him take the whole offseason off. I figured they'd let him do it again. The games, you know, when he is out there, just block him. Don't run him out because he doesn't – it's not nearly the pounding when he's running down the seam and getting, throttled by safeties. If he's just blocking, that preserves him. I mean, I think they're on that kind of program to begin with.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
So, look, the idea of, do your own thing and we'll see you in week 9 or week 10 or whatever. We thought they were going to do that with Ninkovich 1 year, remember? When Ninkovich retired, we thought there was a chance he was going to come back.
Yeah.
I just think if you're Gronk, you're either in or out. I like the idea of it in concept. I just, Belichick will never go for that.
We continue with your thoughts on the Patriots right after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Right back to your phones, as promised. Steve in the car, thoughts on Odell Beckham. Steve?
Yeah, I don't want anything to do with Beckham. Every time we get one of these top flight receivers, Brady changes the whole offense. He tries to force it, just like he did with Marsh, just like he did with, last season. Just do what they've been doing.
Okay, Josh Gordon, right. I was going to say, they've only had one of these guys. It's Moss.
See, you know what I think this guy is, Beckham?
But it's true. They fell into some of that trap with Gordon. Got to feed him. Got to get down the field. Got to take the top off the defense. And it's
Tennessee.
Not who they are, and not who anyone should be.
Yeah, the Tennessee game. Guys like Beckham to me, you know what they are? Circus acts. That's what they are, circus acts. You know, you get to see the nice, nifty highlight. Watch him on the high trapeze.
Whee!
You know, yay, woohoo! And you get to pull, you know, watch him in the net. You know who likes Beckham? And I say this with all the love in my heart. My kids. Because he can jump up in the air, falling backwards, stick his arm up, and catch the ball like his hand's made of Velcro. Great. But in a big spot, in traffic, with the game on the line, I'm telling you, the guy will wilt.
Now, I think that there's better options. You've named some of them. Golden Tate, Manuel Sanders. I'd much rather have those guys. They're certainly tougher than Odell Beckham Jr. But given the alternative right now, I'd like them to do something. So if he's the alternative, I'll take it. He's better than Chris Hogan, who can't get any separation anymore. And he proved that in the Super Bowl.
I'd rather Chris Hogan.
Oh, you're nuts. You don't believe that.
I absolutely believe it. 100% believe it.
I'd rather have Adam Humphries.
100% believe it.
I'd rather have Cole Beasley for a year.
The day they traded Randy Moss, I was the only one that said they're going to get better, and they did. Because those guys, I mean, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is exactly. I mean, I have theories. But those guys are, quote-unquote, more trouble than they're worth. I just made a short list of the P-I-T-A-R, pain in the ass receiver. Okay? Pain in the ass receiver. I should have put a D in there.
Pitar.
Pain in the ass diva receiver.
I call him Petus.
Okay? Peters.
Pain in the ass.
Pain in the ass diva receivers. Now, some of these guys on this list are not really divas or pains in the asses, but they are that.
Their names.
High paid, outside, take the top off the defense, highlight reel. Whee! You've drafted them in fantasy every year. These guys. Tell me what they've won. Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, Tyreek Hill, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, A.J. Green, Calvin Johnson, Megatron, Brandon Marshall, Terrell Owens, Randy Moss, Dez Bryant, Ocho Cinco. I stopped there because I just got tired of looking up names. I could come up with another list just like that. What have those guys ever won?
Have they all won nothing?
Zero. Zero. Nothing. Zero. Nothing. Not one thing. A couple of those guys made the Super Bowl. Julio Jones should have won one. Not his fault, but didn't. Oh, well.
DeAndre Hopkins has had basically no one to throw to him until they just got this quarterback in the last couple of years.
And he doesn't feel like a pain in the ass. Like DeAndre Hopkins could play for me.
That's a bad dude.
So could Jones.
Julio Jones? I've seen the Patriots take him right out of the game, man.
Yeah. How about the Super Bowl?
He had four catches.
Okay. How about the one on the sideline with the game on the line?
No, it was a good catch.
But he can play.
And look, Calvin Johnson was a pro's pro. He's fine. But there's just something about you get one of those guys and then you pay him the money. It's like, well, we got to feed him. We've got to feature him. We've got to get him the ball. Oh, God, do I hate that. Any player that you have to get the ball to, it's not good for your team. You know what I like at receiver? I like system players. System players. Get open, catch the ball, keep your mouth shut. Quarterback wants you to run a route a certain way, wants you to square it off, come back to him, run it that way, or you're gone, and keep your mouth shut. And if I hear you call for the ball once, you're gone. That's all I want. That's all I need. I mean, I just gave you the list of the best receivers in the game over the last decade. Not one of them has won anything. A couple of them made the Super Bowl. Antonio Brown made the Super Bowl as a rookie before he was Antonio Brown. As soon as he turned into Antonio Brown, that whole team fell apart from within because of a-holes like that. Odell Beckham. Oh, this guy. Here, I just mentioned him. Allen and Milford. Who do you want? Okay. He's a Bengals shopping AJ Green.
No, thanks.
Just the kind of guy I'm talking about.
He's soft. He's another one who's soft. And this is what my issue was. Like, all the guys you rattled off, I don't agree with your list. There were some guys I look at that and I say, well, that guy's a tough player. The fact that he didn't win is an entirely
I know I fault. Told you they weren't all diva pain in the ass.
No, I know. I'm just repeating it.
Okay.
Green, I try to make a case for to myself sometimes, and he does wow me on occasion, but he does wilt, man. He is soft.
But a lot of the guys that you're talking about.
But even if they're not diva pain in the asses, they're the highest paid guys that you're drafting in the first round in your fantasy league. They don't win in real football for some reason.
Well, because I think a lot of those guys can buy on their athleticism. That's what it is. They're better athletes than everybody else, so they can run faster and jump higher. But as soon as someone gets in their face and smacks them around, they wilt.
Okay. I think that's part of it, but I think it's more about what they do to your team, as I just said. You draft a guy there, you pay a guy that money, we have to get him the ball. We've got to feed Megatron. We've got to get the ball to so-and-so. We've got to get the ball to A.J. Green. We've got to get the ball downfield to Ocho Cinco and Dez Bryant. We have to do it. That's how our offense is built. That's how we're paying everybody. And it's a lousy way to play real football. That can be shut down too easily.
Oh, I think so. Again, those guys who are athletic, and look, the fact that you have to start, you know, selling yourself or selling your identity to accommodate them on multiple levels, whether it's the contract or feeding them ball, all of that. If they fought for the ball and they could catch 13 passes and fight for it, I'd be okay feeding them the ball. I just think a lot of them are soft.
Justin and Lynn, do you want Odell Beckham?
Yes, I do.
Why?
Because he's the greatest player of all.
Okay. Right.
Whee! School vacation week. Rocco. Paul Jones at 7.
Rocco and Saugus, you want Odell Beckham?
Arcan.
Absolutely. Listen, I remember the 2015 game against the Giants. Bill Belichick went after the game looking for Odell and hugged him like if it was his lost son. I remember that game. And listen, you need a receiver like Odell. Like, he's just like a 10 times better Julian Edelman. I mean, like, he's not just also a deep down wide receiver. He does a lot of things under the middle, underneath, and he just takes it to the house. He has that kind of speed. Our stars on our team are fading. We need stars after Brady. You only have a 3-year window here. So you need some stars to come in and fill in the seats. I'm sorry. Nobody pays to see Chris Hogan. You know what I mean? To come in, all right? Okay. So they need a superstar after Brady.
Okay, they're sold out. The season ticket waiting list is, you know, I don't know, 10 years long. They're good. People are going to pay to see who's ever out there. And the ratings will be the same. They don't need Odell Beckham for business. Do they need him for their team? And I don't think they do. They need receivers. They need receivers because they got to improve that passing game again because it slid too far last year. And so they definitely need that. But when you go get one of those guys and then you pay one of those guys, and again, his $17 million next year is guaranteed. Guaranteed team has no leverage on the player, at least in year one.
Well, and the other thing is that
you look, sell your soul when you bring in one of those guys.
This is the most obvious thing of all, which we haven't even really touched on. It doesn't play to Brady's strength. It doesn't play to Brady's strength.
Well, checking down the field, isn't Beckham? He's a good route runner. He'll go over the middle, doesn't he?
Will he?
Does
yeah.
he? Yeah, I think he does.
Uh-huh.
That's not my issue with him. I think he's.
That's my issue with him. He feels to me like an outside the numbers soft.
I mean, I'll send you the YouTube highlight packages of him getting catches right over the middle of the field, getting hit over the middle of the field.
I'll take your word for it.
I feel what he does. Go ahead, finish.
No, I just think the guy is a soft tool bag. That's what I think. I want nothing to do with him. And I'm when you lay it all out, I'm no on every aspect of it. I don't like his makeup. I don't like the price to get him, and I don't like the contract. Like, to me, that's an easy no.
You know what I think he's done, and I've seen him do it? He goes for the one-handed catch because he wants the highlight reel. Where he could go up with two, but he goes up with one because he wants it to stick to his hand and wee and have that highlight again.
He's a circus act, I'm telling you. Circus act.
Long commercial-free segment is next. Ooh, and I'm giving something away, Murray. People, rock and roll fans.
Oh?
We got tickets for you coming up next.
Yeah.
You know what it is?
Is it fish again?
It's fish, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, go fish.
There's always a party that comes with fish.
I was going to get someone else. Go fish.
You can just go to the parking lot and do nitrous.
That's right. Once you hear that, you know it's right around the corner.
You can go in or not go in. You have free tickets. Free fish tickets, meaning the band, at Fenway for you right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's like the elephant in the room, and, you know, you don't want to talk about it. And I've gotten to the point in my life where, like, nah, there's no need to not talk about it. I believe that I will be, hopefully not just the highest paid receiver in the league, but the highest paid, period.
Folks, you like fish? But swat them. Meaning the band? A little bit of an acquired taste, Murray.
This is them, huh?
Yeah, this is them.
All right. Well, I'll still call Billy to pick up my phone. I do like a party. I'll tell you, I seen them once. 95, Sugarbush, Vermont. Got sold a bunch of fake acid, so I took out my frustration by stealing burritos from some Lowe's and selling them. That was fun. Maybe I gotta give them another chance.
That's a true story.
I know, I was going to say, I didn't want to ask, but It's too good to be not to be true.
Yeah, Felger, did you say I could stay in the parking lot and party with Murray?
Yeah, just two balloons.
I'm in.
I'm so mad. Like, I don't even want to be here. You know what? I'm just going to steal these burritos.
Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to a Phish doubleheader at Fenway Park this July 5th and 6th. I find that misleading. I don't know what that means.
Say it again?
A pair of tickets to a Phish doubleheader. Does that mean you get tickets to both concerts? I doubt it.
That sounds that way.
I think it means they haven't decided which show you're going to yet.
I don't know what that means. All I know is it's free.
Either way, you get to party with Murray.
Either way, you can do balloons with Murray in the parking lot. And then you can decide whether to go in and listen to Phish or not.
And you might get to party with him twice.
But it says we'll score a pair of tickets to a Phish doubleheader at Fenway Park this July 5th and 6th. Is that one concert per day, or is that a doubleheader on the same day? Do you get a pair for both, or one, or I don't know. I find that misleading, and it aggravates me.
It's deceitful.
Okay? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Either way, it's free. Caller 10, 617-931-0985. Tickets are on sale now at redsox.com/tickets.
You got to pay for the acid, though.
So the clip you heard there was Odell Beckham saying, I just don't want to be the highest paid receiver. I want to be the highest paid, period. Oh, yeah, that works here. That's just the kind of guy that they should bring in. Yeah, that they love those guys.
I had never heard that before. Like, that alone makes me despise them. Like, shouldn't the goal be to win championships?
Those receivers aren't worth that. They're not worth that. According to SpoTrack, here are the 2019 highest paid receivers based on cap hit. Okay, that's loosely AAV, but it's not. But it's the first thing that came up. It proves my point, so I'm going with it. Okay, you stop me when you get to a receiver who's worth it. Okay, number one next year, Antonio Brown, $22.1 million.
No.
Odell Beckham, number two at $21 million.
No.
Mike Evans, number three at $20 million.
Definitely no.
Sammy Watkins, number four at 19.2.
Oh, my God, no.
Brandon Cooks is the fifth highest cap hit next year for the Rams at 15.2.
No.
A.J. Green is number six at 15.1.
No. Okay, but at least the number is down a little bit compared to some of those other ones at 15, but go ahead.
Number seven is Allen Robinson with the Chicago Bears at 15.
Oh, my gosh, that's no. That is horrible.
Tied with T.Y. Hilton at number seven for Indy, $15
million. Ooh, I love him.
He might be a yes.
So maybe?
He might be a yes.
I like him.
Bit of an injury history there.
I like him.
But I like him.
But again, at least you're down in the 15s now. On those other ones, you were in the 20s.
Okay, he's eighth. So Hilton's eighth. Number nine is Alshon Jeffrey at 14.7.
I like him, too.
I do, too, but he's not worth that anymore.
14.7. Number 10, another player I love, Jarvis Landry at 14.
I love him, too, but the number's a little high for what he does.
Number 11, DeAndre Hopkins at 14.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
I like DeAndre Hopkins, too. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, you're telling me that he's the 11th highest paid receiver? That's good value.
Absolutely.
He's a top five receiver being paid the 11th highest salary. Got it. Okay. Still hasn't won jack. And again, I'm not blaming these guys for not winning. Like, don't mistake that. Like, it's not Calvin Johnson's fault that played for a loser organization or DeAndre Hopkins can't get a court. I mean, I'm not blaming those guys. In some cases, I do blame the guys. In some cases, I think Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham has helped ruin the cultures on those teams. I think Randy Moss helped ruin the culture here for a time. So I don't put Hopkins in that category. I don't put Calvin Johnson in that category, but still.
No, you're just saying how valuable can that skill set be if you're not winning because of it?
They don't win. They don't win. And we can debate why, but for some reason those guys don't win. Sort of like the running backs. They don't win. So it's loosely based on that. All right, back to your phones. We've got Jefferson in Foxborough. Go ahead, Jefferson.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Listen, OBJ is a schmuck. This guy sucks. Just because he's able to catch a ball with sticky gloves doesn't mean nothing. Now the
okay, no, now so now you're listening to yourself. Your comment line says Pat should go after Larry Fitzgerald. 100%.
Sure, yeah, he would work.
100%. Just their kind of guy. I think he just re-signed there.
He did.
Well, I don't think he's going anywhere, yeah, unfortunately. Why he would stick it out there with that loser franchise, never going to win.
Like Gronk, he was contemplating retirement, and now he's coming back for one more year.
So that should be the exact kind of guy. Tom and Quincy, your thoughts, Tom?
Hey, what's up, Mike? Hey, you know how I feel about the OBJ thing. I can't stand him. I want no part of that. But honest to God, I could listen to you take a dump on the premier receivers in the league all day long. It is hilarious to me. I'm with you. I like the Golden Tate guys, the Jarvis Landry guys, that type of player. I have no time for the Antonio Browns, AJ Greens of the world. They don't bring anything to the table.
They don't win.
And I think they don't win, and they're not tough. And I think that one guy called a little while ago and said that Beckham was like 10 times the player as Julian Edelman is. I'm like, Julian Edelman might be the toughest guy in the league. Odell Beckham? Please.
I'm with you. Please. I mean, really, do I just play around with this website? Do it any year. You know, and again, some of these guys I love, but I'm just going to give you, I just clicked randomly, 2011. Okay, wide receiver cap hits. Okay, highest paid receivers in the league. Number one, Larry Fitzgerald, 16.25 back then. Love the player to death. One of my favorite players to ever play in the league. Should have won one. Not his fault. His defense gave up that game at the end of it. I'm just telling you, he didn't win. Number two, Calvin Johnson. Brilliant player. Didn't win. Number three, Vincent Jackson. Number one squat. Number four, Darius Heyward-Bey with the Raiders. The Raiders paid him $11.5 million that year. Nothing. Number five that year was Brandon Marshall. Remember that piece of work?
Of course.
Brandon Marshall. Number's another piece of work. Steve Smith, Carolina. Love him to death. Love the way he plays. He made the Super Bowl against you one year and never won. These guys don't win. They don't win.
Okay, so again, I know you say you do too. I just distinguish between the ones that you can win with and the ones that you can't. And there are some to me that are a little bit more rugged and can do some things that will help you win games and others that are not. Beckham, to me, falls in the latter category. Circus act. That's what he is.
Brian in Boston. Go ahead, Brian. What do you got for us?
So, I mean, you guys are saying Odell goes over the hill, but you're not paying a receiver that much to go, you know, go over the middle and do that. You're paying him to go downfield. You have an aging quarterback whose arm's not going to get better, as much as people want to deny it. And I don't want that to happen. I don't want him sitting back in the pocket waiting for this guy to get open. And you know he's going to try to force it downfield. I just think it's a bad idea. That's not the type of player you want. You can get someone to go over the middle for a lot cheaper, another slot guy, open up Edelman a little bit more. That's where you want to go.
I'm with you. Even if the guy's totally normal and hardworking and had his head screwed on straight and doesn't demand the ball and is all, you know, is just a legit pro. If you pay him too much or is too much of your offense, now you're sort of beholden to feeding him. I mean, Josh Gordon got into a rut last year with Josh Gordon. They felt like they had to feed him. Like, why? Why did you feel like you had to feed that guy? And it sort of ground your offense to a halt. They didn't pick it back up until they stopped throwing those balls to him over the top.
No, that's right. Until they started throwing them in the middle of the field. And it was slants and hitches and little things like that. And that was it. It was nothing beyond, you know, 15 yards from the line of scrimmage. So, I looked at Gordon at least and could say, you know what? He could catch the ball in traffic. There was a little bit of compete there for the football. I'll take it. And for them, the price is right, them being the Patriots. But I can live with a guy like Gordon if he's going to go into traffic and catch the ball.
Okay, Billy, or our intern, help me with the name.
Cameron.
Cameron. The hippies still calling on those fish tickets?
Yep.
Okay, they're gone, right?
Yep.
All right, hippies, dudes, they're gone. Tickets are gone. We'll do it again tomorrow, okay? So stop calling Billy and
Cameron,
okay?
We're going to get a clarification on what the package actually is.
Yeah, well, this I'd like to know before tomorrow, so I know I'm going to wait. Two or four? Is it a doubleheader? One day, 2 day? Did that make any sense to you?
Nope.
Thank you. Okay, you think the hippies have it rough to me? You know what I just did to all those hippies out there?
Don't make me do math,
They're
man.
They're like, wait a minute, dude, is that two? Well, I don't know, man, but I'm calling.
Can you imagine how many people would be calling if the acid was included?
So we'll give them away again tomorrow. I do want to weigh in on the latest NBA drama, because there's always NBA drama. One of these guys is always saying something. Kyrie can't seem to keep his yapper shut. Talk about a guy that needs a ball gag. But he was at it again today on ESPN, so we'll react to the latest from Kyrie right after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials. We'll do the football all day long, so you don't have to go anywhere, but we'll introduce the Celtics right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.